Systemic teaching about Christian life. Subject of this audio: forgetting those things which are behind. Chapter 2. The aspects of the new creation simply do not fit in what is not consistent with the new creature. In the world, there is a series of aspects considered new that can be added to what already existed previously. But there are also situations in which the acceptance of something new implies changes and even the abandonment of old aspects. When people, for instance, resumed the propagation of the concept that the planet Earth has a rounded, almost spherical or geoid shape, and not flat as it was proclaimed in a certain period of history, the new conclusion automatically created a situation in which the idea or the thought that the Earth was flat simply lost its prominent position, although some have probably resisted believing that it actually has the spherical or almost spherical shape. The new knowledge reached about the shape of the planet Earth surely did not harmonize with the previously announced understanding, showing that the new concept could not be added to the old one by revealing the previous knowledge as obsolete. On the other hand, the discovery of a new planet, which also rotates around the Sun, is an understanding that can be aggregated or added to the knowledge related to the fact that the planet Earth is also almost spherical and rotates around the Sun, without one conflicting with the other. Thus, when we return to the theme of the new creation, we believe that it is very relevant for a Christian to know what kind of category of novelty are the aspects that are granted to him or her as a new creature in Christ. Is the new creature, and the new conditions associated with it, then, a granting of life that can be added to an old life model to correct this ancient model? Or is the new creation a concession of a new condition of life that does not aim at restoring an old model? To reflect on the questions outlined in the last paragraphs, we propose to recall the text below and that was more extensively covered in the first subject of this series, entitled The New Creature in Christ, as follows. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation, or new creature. Old things have passed away, behold, all things have become new. Knowing or recognizing that the new creature is indeed new, and that the aspects that are granted with it are only applicable to those who receive it, is of vital importance, for as the Lord Jesus Christ taught us, a person who is not born again according to the Spirit of God is a person who cannot see the kingdom of God and cannot enter into it. Without a person receiving the new birth coming from God, one can only speculate how the new creature is, just as people considered wrongly that the earth was flat. Without the new birth, an individual cannot experience and obtain the proper knowledge of how the life in Christ Jesus or in consonance with the kingdom of God is indeed. Without receiving the newness of life from the kingdom of God, there is no way for an individual to indeed live and walk according to this kingdom, an aspect also addressed in the subject on the gospel of the kingdom. Without the new birth, the characteristics or faculties of the new creature are not or cannot be added to a person. And without receiving first the attributes of the newness of life in the Lord, a person is not fit to live or walk according to the new creature. 1 Corinthians 2:14. But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. If a person insists on wanting to live according to the principles of the Christian life, without being first made new by the new birth, not only will one not be able to achieve his or her goal, but one may still get burdened or even become bitter precisely regarding the principles that aim at granting him or her true freedom and a life of inestimable value. While in the proposition of the law of Moses the people tried to attain a new conduct and a new life without first having received a new condition internally or in the heart, in the Christian life the situation is entirely different. The Christian life begins with the constitution of the new creature so that, then, a person may start to live and walk according to this new condition which is granted to him or her by the grace of God from the heavenly kingdom. Moreover, during the announcement of the unquestionable need for people to receive the new birth and the kingdom of heaven to begin to experience the newness of life in God, the Lord Jesus Christ never omitted to announce that what he was presenting was indeed new and, therefore, also incompatible with many ancient or old things. And to emphasize that the new condition of life offered from heaven to all human beings was indeed distinct from the old condition and that it was not compatible with what people had experienced up to that point, the Lord Jesus Christ exemplified in various ways the incompatibility of the new with the old, of which we still highlight here the ones that follow below. Mark 2:22. And no one puts new wine into old wineskins, or else the new wine bursts the wineskins, the wine is spilled, and the wineskins are ruined. But new wine must be put into new wineskins. Luke 5:37-38. And no one puts new wine into old wineskins, or else the new wine will burst the wineskins and be spilled, and the wineskins will be ruined. But new wine must be put into new wineskins, and both are preserved. Mark 2:21. No one sews a piece of unshrunk cloth on an old garment, or else the new piece pulls away from the old, and the tear is made worse. The Lord Jesus Christ, also through two natural figures, teaches that there are new aspects of life that people really should not try to mix with old aspects, for there are situations in which trying to combine some distinct factors will not work or only will increase losses for those who attempt to make such combinations. Through examples about natural matters, the Lord Jesus Christ teaches that there are situations in a person's life where actions aimed at putting new things into old things can even worsen the old and increase its damage, causing him or her to lose both the benefits of the offered novelty and the old to which it was improperly attempted to add the new. An individual who wants to live the Christian life, but without being constituted new by the new birth, resembles the person who is seeking to put the new wine into an old wineskin or the unshrunk cloth to mend the old garment. Practices which the Lord compared to the lack of an appropriate sense about the reality of the aspects in reference, and from which derives only losses and more losses. In other parts of the Scriptures, we find the Lord Jesus Christ also declaring. Luke 17:33. Whoever seeks to save his life will lose it, and whoever loses his life will preserve it. Matthew 16:25. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. Just as the thought of the flat earth does not fit into the concept of an almost spherical planet, and just as the Lord Jesus Christ teaches that it is not appropriate to put new wine into old wineskins, or new cloth to mend the old garment, so it is not pertinent to try to experience the reality of the new creation being still attached to the old creature or under the principles of the old nature. Christ died on the cross of Calvary to free people from the old nature or the old condition subject to sin, and not for people to try to use some principles of the new creature for the purpose of improving the old nature or the old condition subject to sin. Christ died on the cross of Calvary to grant a new condition of life accompanied by new characteristics, and not so that people could be equipped with new capacities to try to correct the old nature or the old wineskin, as if the old man had first to reach perfection to after that attain salvation. The man, the being, or the person who receives new garments from the Lord is called to undress the old clothes so that after that one can put on the new clothes with new characteristics, and one does not receive new garments to try to give credibility to his or her old nature. Similarly, new wine is not for the old wineskin. On the contrary, as the Lord Jesus Christ declared, new wine must be put into new wineskins, and both are preserved. And still, regarding what has been exposed in the last paragraphs, it is also worth noting that the Scriptures emphatically and repeatedly teach that the person who is in Christ died for the old and was resurrected for the new. Asserting also by this aspect, that the newness of life or the made alive spirit that a person receives in the Lord is the expression of something that is indeed new and entirely dissociated from various old things. Romans 6, 8-11. Now if we died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, dies no more. Death no longer has dominion over him. For the death that he died to sin once for all, but the life that he lives to God. Likewise you also, reckon yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Romans 7, 4. Therefore, my brethren, you also have become dead to the law through the body of Christ, that you may be married to another, to him who was raised from the dead, that we should bear fruit to God. 2 Corinthians 5, 14-15. For the love of Christ compels us, because we judge thus, that if one died for all, then all died, and he died for all, that those who live should live no longer for themselves, but for him who died for them and rose again. Colossians 2, 12. Buried with him in baptism, in which you also were raised with him through faith in the working of God, who raised him from the dead. Galatians 3, 26-27. For you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. Returning once again to the theme about garments, the one who becomes familiar with the scriptures knows that the mentions of the garments can also be a reference to the characteristics of the inner life with which a person dresses oneself. That is why those who come to be in Christ Jesus are also called to cast out the old garments in order to appropriately dress the new ones, as exemplified in the text of Ephesians mentioned in the previous chapter and as well in the following verses. Colossians 3, 7-12. In which you yourselves once walked when you lived in them. But now you yourselves are to put off all these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth. Do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man who is renewed in knowledge according to the image of him who created him, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcised nor uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave nor free, but Christ is all and in all. Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering. The Lord Jesus Christ teaches that putting new wine into old wineskins under no circumstances will be a successful action, warning people, therefore, not to try to apply the aspects of the new life in the Lord to the things which are behind. In addition to expressing a lack of good sense, the expectation of succeeding in combining the new with the things which are behind may further aggravate the unfavorable condition of those who are inclined to follow this practice. The Lord Jesus Christ warns that trying to mend the old with a part of the new, or a piece of the new, causes worse damage, causing the hole in the old garment to get bigger or the wineskin to break. Some Christians often insist on those who have not yet been born again to adopt some principles of Christian life in order to achieve a morally better life. However, in doing so, they may fail to teach that the essence of the Christian life is not a new moral conduct for the old inner man, but, rather, to die in Christ for the old nature along with receiving a made alive spirit and which is guided by the presence of the Holy Spirit who dwells in the one who is made a new creature. In speaking of what is vital to announce in the proclamation of the gospel, for a person to be enlightened about the new condition of life in the Lord, Paul states the following words. 1 Corinthians 2, 1-10. And I, brethren, when I came to you, did not come with excellence of speech or of wisdom declaring to you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. I was with you in weakness, in fear, and in much trembling. and my speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not be in the wisdom of men but in the power of God. However, we speak wisdom among those who are mature, yet not the wisdom of this age, nor of the rulers of this age, who are coming to nothing. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the ages for our glory, which none of the rulers of this age knew, for had they known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. But God has revealed them to us through his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. Romans 10:13-14. For whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? Similarly, also Peter, when referring to the inner posture of a Christian, as well as to the conduct of a Christian towards other people in the world, wrote the following verses. 1 Peter 3:15-16. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and always be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you a reason for the hope that is in you, with meekness and fear, having a good conscience, that when they defame you as evildoers, those who revile your good conduct in Christ may be ashamed. Now, what is the reason for a Christian's hope? Is it not Christ in his or her life? Is it not the heavenly newness of life which the Father of lights has bestowed upon him or her? Why, then, should anyone expect that a person in the condition of an old wineskin or clothed in the garments of the old nature might live similarly to those who have Christ in the heart? Romans 5:1-2. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand, and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Colossians 1:27. To them God willed to make known what are the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Thus, besides the fact that the Christian is called to do good works because this is the right thing to do and because it is beneficial for his or her life, the Christian is called to perform good works so that the people of the world also may come across the light of the Lord, which is in the Christian and which has been granted to him or her by the new birth. The unique light that enlightens the life of a Christian is Christ. Therefore, every Christian who is placed in the midst of a world that dwells in darkness is called to be a witness of the light which one has received, and thus to cooperate with the Lord so that those who do not yet know the heavenly light may also become exposed to the testimony of the benefits of receiving it. Every Christian who still lives in the present world has the privilege of being called to be a living witness of the newness of life that is in Christ and that enables him or her to live and walk distinctly from the world. Matthew 5:16. Let your light so shine before men, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Only through the new condition in Christ Jesus can a person get a new way of living and walking. And this is the message that the Lord Jesus announced, which the angels of God also proclaimed, which the prophets of antiquity pre-announced, and that the apostles and the witnesses of Christ proclaimed over the several centuries of human history. Therefore, how can a branch produce fruit from the vine if it is not connected indeed to the vine? John 15:5. I am the vine, you are the branches. Without me you can do nothing. Or how can an individual be able to produce results in consonance with the good vine if his or her source of nutrients comes from a tree which bears bad fruit? Matthew 7:16-17. You will know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Even so, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. In the mentality of the old creature, the one in which a person has not yet died in Christ by faith, has not been buried with him, and has not been risen or made alive in the Lord, the concept or thinking is invariably similar or according to the law of Moses, under which people believe they can, even as old wineskins, come to attain an improvement in their condition as old creatures. An attempt that, however, shows itself to be a vain, useless, or unfavorable effort for their lives. Moreover, this situation may even be aggravated or have its harmful potential increased when people try to put aspects of the new wine or the new clothing in their old conditions. And still, as part of the theme of this chapter, we would like to point out that the attempts to put new wine in old wineskins, or unshrunk cloth on old garments, also manifest themselves when people try to live an alleged Christian life in religious structures and that follow the models of the old nature or the models of people who do not live and walk indeed in Christ Jesus. In the world, many mistakenly think that God is pleased with their attempts to practice an alleged Christian life through their religious beliefs and institutions, as well as by their temples with the dozens and hundreds of rituals that are practiced around their old wineskins or unfit garments. When people try to frame the Christian life or the life according to the grace of God in the old concepts of circumcision or uncircumcision, the Jew or the Greek models, religion or liberality, as explained in the material on the new creature in Christ, they are trying to put the novelty of life into old structures, old clothes, or old wineskins. This practice, however, may cause them to place themselves under high risk of going away even further from all the newness of life offered to them by the Lord, as exemplified below. Galatians 5:1-8, and verse 13. Stand fast therefore in the liberty by which Christ has made us free, and do not be entangled again with a yoke of bondage. Indeed I, Paul, say to you that if you become circumcised, Christ will profit you nothing. And I testify again to every man who becomes circumcised that he is a debtor to keep the whole law. You have become estranged from Christ, you who attempt to be justified by law, you have fallen from grace. For we through the Spirit eagerly wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision nor uncircumcision avails anything, but faith working through love. You ran well. Who hindered you from obeying the truth? This persuasion does not come from him who calls you. For you, brethren, have been called to liberty, only do not use liberty as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. Acts 7:48-51. However, the Most High does not dwell in temples made with hands, as the prophet says. Heaven is my throne, and earth is my footstool. What house will you build for me? Says the Lord, or what is the place of my rest? Has my hand not made all these things? You stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears. You always resist the Holy Spirit, as your fathers did, so do you. Trying to fit the life of the new creature in Christ into some kind of temple made by human hands or in some denomination or religious institution, even if it is alleged that they were created under some instructions of the Scriptures, is to try to frame the wind on four walls or to attempt to set limits to what is created to be free. John 3:8. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it, but cannot tell where it comes from and where it goes. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit. Trying to frame the life of the new creature in Christ in some sort of system of religious doctrines compiled by men or women, even it permeated by parts of the Scriptures, is to try to limit what was created to be free in the Lord and His righteousness, implying, even, in acts that are called by God as a resisting the Spirit of the Lord or in practices that oppose the true freedom that is in Christ and in true worship before the Lord. 2 Corinthians 3:14-18. But their minds were blinded. For until this day the same veil remains unlifted in the reading of the Old Testament, because the veil is taken away in Christ. But even to this day, when Moses is read, a veil lies on their heart. Nevertheless, when one turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. John 4:24. God is Spirit, and those who worship Him must worship in spirit and truth. Besides that, there are people in the world who seek to live the Christian life without having even been constituted as new creatures in Christ, because they have not yet received Him as Lord in their lives, and there are those who have already become children of God, but who are inattentive to the conditions of the new creature granted to them. These last ones are those who allow themselves to be persuaded to want to put the new wine they have received into concepts and structures of their former conditions, which are either according to the model of the ancient law of Moses or according to the mentality of the people who live without acknowledging and respecting the righteousness of the Heavenly Father revealed in Christ Jesus to the whole world. If a Christian returns to the propositions that are according to the circumcision or the law of Moses, or if he or she returns to the propositions of the people characterized by the Greek or the Gentiles model, one puts oneself at high risk for trying to frame his or her position in the Lord under a condition that is not due to a Christian. By returning to the things which are behind, a Christian, besides not being able to make them have value before God, may still incur the possibility of seeing grace vanishing from his or her life or jeopardize his or her condition as a new creature in the Lord. Hebrews 10:26-39. For if we sin willfully after we have received the knowledge of the truth, there no longer remains a sacrifice for sins, but a certain fearful expectation of judgment, and fiery indignation which will devour the adversaries. Anyone who has rejected Moses' law dies without mercy on the testimony of two or three witnesses. Of how much worse punishment, do you suppose, will he be thought worthy who has trampled the Son of God underfoot, counted the blood of the covenant by which he was sanctified a common thing, and insulted the Spirit of grace? For we know him who said, "Vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord." And again, "The Lord will judge his people." It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. But recall the former days in which, after you were illuminated, you endured a great struggle with sufferings, partly while you were made a spectacle both by reproaches and tribulations, and partly while you became companions of those who were so treated, for you had compassion on me in my chains, and joyfully accepted the plundering of your goods, knowing that you have a better and an enduring possession for yourselves in heaven. Therefore do not cast away your confidence, which has great reward. For you have need of endurance, so that after you have done the will of God, you may receive the promise. For yet a little while, and he who is coming will come and will not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith, but if anyone draws back, my soul has no pleasure in him. But we are not of those who draw back to perdition, but of those who believe to the saving of the soul. 1 Thessalonians 5:19. Do not quench the Spirit. The diversity of characteristics of the new creature is not granted by the Lord to be used to strengthen that which opposes the new creature, however appealing, to human eyes, it may seem the attempt to restore the systems that have proved to be imperfect and entirely obsolete in the face of the new condition in Christ offered by the Lord. And because the new cannot be framed into the old, Paul also declares. Philippians 3:13-14. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead. I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Romans 7:6. But now we have been delivered from the law, having died to what we were held by, so that we should serve in the newness of the Spirit and not in the oldness of the letter. Romans 8, 2. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. Galatians 5, 1. Stand fast therefore in the liberty by which Christ has made us free, and do not be entangled again with a yoke of bondage.